It's quite interesting because as I'm bringing you this message, I've just come back from a week of prayer on the mountains, and it's very important to me. I've actually been going to the mountains to pray for more than 30 years, and that is probably one of the most significant times in my ministry. I'm now picking up where I left off in my last message, because I'm using the Authorized Version. And last time I was in chapter 9, which deals, of course, with Saul's conversion and how miraculous it is. And then when he met with the other disciples in Damascus, he himself, that's Paul, really faced persecution. And so in actual fact, Saul, he's eventually going to change his name to Paul, but just at the moment he's still Saul. He then went to Jerusalem, and actually, they were afraid of him there, and Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and explained about the conversion and the boldness of his preaching in Damascus. And then there was a time of peace, and they brought him down to Caesarea. And then the whole story changes here, and that's where I ended last time. The whole story changes here because in verse 32, it came to pass, it's Peter back again. And Peter passed through all quarters, all areas, and he then also came down to Lydda, which is where the saints were dwelling. And when he got there, and I find that this is very interesting, and I possibly spend quite a bit of time just dealing with this issue, because when Peter, and you have to remember who was actually writing the Acts of the Apostles, we believe it was Luke, and he doesn't refer to himself so much, he's referring to the others, and he says quite clearly, when Peter, having passed through various areas, came to Lydda, he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had been in bed for 8 years and sick of the palsy. So it's quite clear that it appears that he probably was one of the believers, because it infers that. But certainly when he met Aeneas, this man who's been critically ill and bedridden for 8 years, verse 34, Peter simply said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Get up. Make up your bed. And he immediately got out of bed. I find this is quite interesting, actually, because we get so used to the miracles of the New Testament. But here I find this is quite unusual, that this is apparently already a convert. I mean, the fact that he's been in bed for 8 years means that before the awakening of the message of the gospel and the preaching after the death and resurrection of Jesus, he was in bed before that happened, because he's been in bed for 8 years. So this is no new thing. But when Peter gets there, I mean, this is a group of disciples, a group of believers. But they had not made any apparent move to heal this man. And to me, that raises a number of questions. But Peter, when he saw him, immediately realized that this was going to be a miracle. And simply, I mean, it doesn't say he anointed with him in oil. It doesn't say that he laid hands on him. He just simply spoke to him and said, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole." In other words, healed. And having spoken that, he then makes the challenge, because I can imagine after 8 years in bed, Aeneas was not realizing what was going to happen. And it's not as if there's any sense that Aeneas is appealing to Peter, but simply this is Peter's initiative. And I want you to realize this is Peter's initiative. And he says, calling him by name, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Get up. Get out of bed." And he obeyed and got out of bed immediately. This miracle didn't take days or weeks. You know, it wasn't a matter that Peter's there and praying and then some few weeks later, Aeneas gets out of bed. No, immediately. I like the word in the authorized version, immediately. Right now, he gets out of bed, healed. And the miracle was so big that verse 35 puts it in its context. All the people, and it doesn't say just believers here, and it's quite clear that these are unbelievers who are watching, because all that were living at Lydda and Saron saw him, and because of the miracle, they turned to accept the Lord. I want you to see the importance of this, that the disciples were there, but it takes this powerful miracle to bring numbers. It says everybody. I don't know where else that you actually see that it virtually refers to everybody. All that were living at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. So this miracle, Peter doesn't stay there. And it appears by verse 36 that he's gone to Joppa. And when he gets to Joppa again, there's a certain disciple, a lady called Tabitha, which in the other language is Dorcas. So depending which language you're using, Tabitha or Dorcas, this woman was full of good works, which she had done. And it lists them in verse 37. But it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. But this woman is remarkable for what she's been doing. But now, in verse 37, she's not only sick, she died. Now, again, she's living with believers and known as a disciple, and she's sick and she dies. And they prepared her as they would do, but instead of burying her, for reasons which they don't explain, they laid her in like a bedroom. That's what I'm assuming, an upper chamber. It's a bedroom. And because Lydda was near Joppa and Peter was still at Lydda, the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, and they sent two men asking him that he would come quickly. So by verse 39, Peter got up, went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood by him and by this dead Dorcas, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. So In fact, she goes down in history. I mean, this is quite a remarkable story because of this particular woman, the work that she was doing. And you can see that it's not only preaching, it's not only witnessing, but it's sometimes the practical help that she was giving. I mean, even today, we find that part, even as an evangelist, I find part of my ministry is giving practical help where it's needed. And we have fed the hungry, and we have provided clothes, we have sent medical equipment down through the years. And at the moment, certainly in the Ukraine, we're working to send even necessary equipment to the front line. So you can understand this is all part of the ministry. But what happens? Verse 39. So he's gone into the bedroom where this dead disciple is, Dorcas. And in verse 40, what does Peter do? He turned them all out. I'm reminded Jesus had to do this once, that because of the weeping and the wailing, when that girl was dead, the 12-year-old girl, he turned all these unbelieving believers out. And then what Jesus did, took her by the hand and she rose up and was... And Peter's doing exactly the same thing. He kneeled down and he prayed. And if you compare this with the previous miracle, where without being asked, Peter's gone into Aeneas's house and simply said, "Get up, Jesus Christ is healing you." Now, in verse 40, Peter puts everybody out and then kneels down and prays. And it says very clearly, he turned to the dead woman and said to her, using the name Tabitha, he says, "Tabitha, arise." And the dead woman opened her eyes and saw Peter, must have recognized who he was, and in shock, she sits up. I love this, but because Peter prays, and when he prays, he simply says to Tabitha, "Get up." In the authorized, this as "arise," it means simply "get up" in plain English. And she responded by opening her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And in verse 41, he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he'd called the saints and widows, presented her alive. You know, to me, this is such a tremendous challenge, because Peter was having to do this. In both these cases, it was completely different. It's not as if there was a formula, not as if there was a set way of doing it, because when he's with Aeneas, who's been sick for 8 years, then he just simply speaks and raises the challenge and the sick man is healed. But now it's a case where Tabitha has died. And they're weeping over her because she was a known and loved disciple. And Peter acts differently. He puts all the people, because they're all weeping and making a noise. It was a tradition that if someone died, you actually paid. I don't know whether you realize this, but actually, you actually paid for people to come in and do the crying. I find it's an amazing story, but it's actually true. You didn't just have the relatives, but you sort of had people coming in to cry for you. I find it very unusual. But So the result was, yes, the people that were there and crying and watching over Dorcas or Tabitha, they obviously, they were very concerned. They missed her, they lost her. She was a woman that they were depending on, who'd done a lot of work while she was there. But Peter's reaction is so different here in that he didn't want that, because he could see that the people that were crying and weeping were not full of faith that a miracle was happening. They'd called him down, but they weren't expecting a miracle. I don't know why. I mean, they sent two men, because in the previous case, it wasn't raising the dead. It was just healing the sick with Aeneas. It wasn't that. He was, yeah, okay, so he'd been bedridden for 8 years, and it was a big miracle. But this time, they've called for him after Dorcas is dead. I mean, that's what it says. It says, she died, verse 37, she died. And in verse 38, because they'd heard that Peter was not very far away, they sent two men asking him to come quickly. So can you see the contrast in the first case? He's praying over a man bedridden for 8 years, and they couldn't do anything, you know, the disciples. Now they've come to Dorcas, and they've accepted the fact she's dead. And so they paid these people to come in and weep over her. And now Peter takes a different attitude, turns them all out, kneels down, and prays. And it doesn't say what he prayed. Mm-hmm. You would think here at this point you would get some inclination of how he prayed. None. So he prayed alone and prayed privately. And then, having prayed, turned to the dead woman and simply says, "Tabitha, get up." And immediately she responded by opening her eyes. Notice, firstly, she opens her eyes, the dead woman. And when she saw it was Peter, she sat up. And in verse 41, yes, he took her hand and helped her to get up. And then he called the saints and the widows, saying, "She's alive." And again, the same thing happens in verse 42. "It became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." So you can see that in both cases, I would say there was a strong reason for the miracle. The miracle that happened with Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, and Dorcas, dead for a few days. The result of the miracle in both cases is that many people came to Christ. And you know, people question, but with me, one of the most important things of my ministry is I not only preach the gospel, but I, in Jesus' name, command the sick to be healed. Notice I didn't say I heal them. I can't heal them. Jesus heals them, and I tell them that. But the fact is this, that down through those years, when we were seeing such powerful miracles all over Russia, and for 30 years, it was always accompanied by powerful miracles. And if I was in a stadium, I always wanted to be in the stadium for at least 3 days. Why? Because when the people heard me speak, and then when I'd called them to repent, they saw the miracles take place. That saw the power and the authority, gave authority to the gospel I was preaching. And so the next day, there would be more people there. And I believe that in the ministry of Jesus, I've referred to this before, and I'm going to refer to it again. I believe that in the ministry of Jesus, they did not just follow him for what he said. Sometimes they did. For example, when he fed 5,000, when he fed 7,000, they weren't following him for the miracles, they were following him for the teaching. But in the majority of cases, they followed Jesus because of the miracles. And I do believe that this is why Jesus says clearly in his last message to his disciples after his resurrection, preach the gospel, heal the sick. You see, there are so many religions in the world today, and people in their millions, tens, hundreds of millions, will follow religions, but not one of those religions offers the miracle of healing and the raising of the dead and an offer of salvation and repentance and forgiveness of sin. You see, we the Christian message is different to any other religion, but look, there's been religions all through known time. And growing up, there was one thing as we were discussing in the family what we would be doing, and my older brother went as a missionary to India, my sister to Africa, and I said, I'm going to be a missionary to Europe. But the fact is this, when I discussed this whole thing with my father, I was shocked to discover that even years ago in the remotest tribes, whether it's in Africa or on remote islands, when civilized people from the West went there, all those people had some form of religious worship. Now, people, you have to recognize this, you have to understand this, that man is created as a worshiping animal. I mean, some worship the sun, the moon. In India, they worship the cow. But if you go back in history, you find the temples that were built and the images of the gods that they had, because simply there is something within us that we are created as worshipping animals. And it is the one thing that makes us different. And it is something that proves that evolution is not right, because no other animal has that sense and that ability to worship. And worship is the key. But the only true God is our Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus, whom he sent to reveal himself to us. And to prove who he was, he healed the sick, he raised the dead. And come on, this is the challenge today, that we preach the gospel that these disciples preached. Oh, I shall come on to the next chapter, but let me just simply say that verse 30, 42, this miracle with Tabitha or Dorcas was known throughout all Joppa, and many came to believe in the Lord as a result of this miracle. And so Peter stayed for some days in Joppa. So he's now left Lydda, he's now in Joppa with Simon, a tanner. And I will be dealing with what happens later when we see this. But what I'm simply saying is this. Here in this part, in this chapter, chapter 9, you've got the miracle of Paul's conversion. Then the whole thing goes back to Peter and two powerful miracles. Healing the man who's been bedridden for 8 years and raising Dorcas from the dead. Oh, what a gospel we have. You know, I want to do just exactly what they did in my life, my ministry. I want to do what Peter did, what Paul did, what Jesus did. That's how we should be today as evangelists. God bless you. Father, I just pray that you would encourage people by these messages and help them to understand the truth and the power of the gospel we preach, and give them the faith to believe that they can see miracles. In Jesus' name, amen.
My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise! When you are committed to and support the gospel, then stand on this promise that when you give to the extension of the kingdom, God will supply all your need. Jesus called it giving and receiving. This year God has given us wonderful opportunities to preach the gospel in Armenia, Georgia, and Poland. And we continue to support Ukraine by distributing humanitarian and spiritual aid. For 12 months, our staff have helped the displaced, vulnerable, and injured, supplying food and medicines. To make a donation, visit eurovision.org.uk/donation. Strength for now and for eternity. David will guide you through the Apostle Paul's letters to the Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. David has written this book to strengthen your faith at a time when everything around us is being shaken. Join David as he delves deep into the truths of the Bible. Order David's book, A Firm Foundation, by visiting our website, eurovision.org.uk/shop. We would like to give you a free gift. David Hathaway's Prophetic Vision magazine is available free of charge. All you need to do is ask for it. This faith-building resource will show you the path to revival in your life and ministry. To receive this free magazine, visit eurovision.org.uk/magazine.